Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
This is the, on a Jewish calendar, God's calendar, this is the Feast of Tabernacles. And this is where they came out of their homes and they went out and pitched tents and put together little shack buildings and everything to represent how they traveled from Egypt to the Promised Land. Through all of that time, they would, for the Feast of Tabernacles, they pitched tents and lived that way. And they celebrate it today by doing the same thing. And the reason they do that, the reason they celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, is when they're in the tent, they're under the canopy of heaven. And they acknowledge God's provision for everything that they needed. He provided for them: the water, the food, the bread, everything that they needed. Their shoes never wore out. Why? Because of His provision. So we celebrate during this time. We celebrate His provision for us, and it's amazing to me that this weekend was the weekend that they chose to take all of our boys camping during the Feast of Tabernacles. So they pitched tents and they stayed in the tents. And so under that influence of the Feast of Tabernacles, we're saying God is going to provide for our children. Everything that they need to succeed, God is going to provide for our children. Amen. And it was during the Feast of the Tabernacle that Jesus spoke these words. He said, "Out of you shall flow what? Rivers of what? Living water." So I claim that for our children as well, that the ones that they camped out, not just those, but others, out of them shall flow rivers, multiple streams, rivers of what? Living water. I just think it's cool how God does stuff. I really do. Sometimes we just miss and don't notice what He's doing sometimes. But when we take note and we really look at what He's into doing, we have reason to praise God. We have reason to thank God, and we have reason to serve God. Amen. Well, here's the title of the message: Dead to Sin, Alive to God. That's not all of it. Say that again. No, that's part of my title. Dead to sin, alive to God. Now say that again. Say it. Dead to sin, alive to God. Turn to your neighbor and say what? Say, what'd you say? Dead to sin, alive to God. Say it again. Dead to sin, alive to God. This is part, last week we talked about guarding your heart. How do we do that? And we talked a little bit about that. This is part of that message, how to guard our heart. And I want you to go to Romans chapter 5. Y'all remember Aladdin in the movie Aladdin? Flying on a magic carpet and all that kind of stuff. Listen to this song. Aladdin says this: "I can open your eyes." But I want you to listen to God speaking to us. "I can open your eyes, and I can take you from wonder to wonder. I can open your eyes. I can take you from wonder to wonder. A whole new world, a new fantastic point of view." Then the princess sings in the song. She says, "A whole new world, a dazzling place I never knew. But when I'm way up here, it's crystal clear that now I'm in a whole new world with you. You are in a whole new world with Christ." That's His kingdom. Amen? A brand new world. There's things we have yet to discover about God and yet to discover about his kingdom. How many of you know all they are to know about God? Okay, how many of you, anybody here know all there are to know about the kingdom of God? See, we're still learning. And we should still be desiring to know more about him. Okay, so let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Out of one man's disobedience, Adam, we were all made sinners. You didn't have to do nothing to be born to be a sinner. Just be born. You were made a sinner. Even so, through the disobedience of the one, which is a capital of the one, many will be made righteous. You didn't have to do anything to become a sinner except be born. You don't have to do anything to become righteous except be born again. Well, that is good news. You were made a sinner, and you'll be made righteous because of one man's obedience, and that's Jesus. The law came in that the transgression might increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So where sin was on the increase, he said grace abounded more than sin. Grace always abounds more than sin. He said that grace abounded because that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness. And that word reign there means to dominate. To dominate. To be lord over. Sin used to dominate your life. You couldn't help but sin. That's who you were. But in Christ, he said, you were made a sinner through one man's disobedience, and it's through one Jesus you are made righteous. That sin don't reign over you, but you will reign in righteousness. Through righteousness, the eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, I think it's awesome to understand that where we used to, you didn't have to volunteer to sin. It was automatic for us. We can try not to all day long, but not going to work for long. And then when you're born again, you become righteous. So why do we have to work to be righteous? We don't. We were made righteous. We still have people trying to become righteous by their own labor and by their own works. It doesn't work that way. It really doesn't. We've got to be able to get our thinking right, and that's just guarding our heart. Guard your thoughts of how we think about the provision that God gives us. Sometimes we have a short-term thinking for a long-term provision. In other words, our thinking don't always stay with us concerning what we're about to read and what we have read already. And we have a tendency to go back to trying to earn what he's already given. How many of you can make yourself righteous? That's the reason you needed Jesus. That's the reason I needed Jesus. You were made righteous through his obedience and then becoming obedient to him, saying yes to him. We become righteous. Now listen to this. In chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Okay. All right, okay, so instead of sin reigning in my life, righteousness reigns in my life. So what have I got to say about that? Are we to continue in sin that grace may keep on abounding? God forbid. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? See, that's the question. And Paul is right. Paul is saying, he said, how shall we that died to sin? And we hadn't even talked about died to sin yet. How shall we who have died to sin. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've died to sin. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer therein? How shall we still live in it? Look at verse 3. Or do you not know? I'm afraid a lot of us still don't know. And that's the reason for this message today. Dead to sin, alive to God. Say that again. Dead to sin, alive to God. And keep on remembering that we're dead to sin and alive to God. But when we lose track of that thought, we will begin to live in areas. No, it's sort of like this. It's like, okay, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to live the best life I can in Egypt. And that's not the life we're supposed to live, Egypt. Y'all hear me? Said we want to live to God. We want to understand that we're dead to sin and alive to God. But sometimes we get born again and we're still struggling to live the life because we're striving instead of resting. Why is that? Because we have short-term thinking for a long-term provision. When he made that provision, he made it for eternity. Not a short-term. So when we have short-term thinking about who we are and how we are to live, when we have a short-term about that, we've got to make ourselves righteous. Then we're under legalism. If I've got to work to achieve it, then it's legalism. How many of you have been in that cycle? Still trying to achieve things when God says you already have it. Raise your hand. How many of you have ever been in that cycle? Most of us, more than we know. So many times more than we know. So he goes on and he says this, do you not know? This is one of the things we need to know, that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into his death. In order that Christ, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory or the character of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Jesus walked in newness of life when he raised from the dead. He said, and you and I, being baptized into his death, we are raised with him so we can walk in the newness of life. New life, not the old life. Newness of life. Verse 5, for we have become united with him in the likeness of his death. We're united with him. We were united in him with his death. Certainly, if we're united with his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Certainly, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, there's another knowing. He said, do you not know? And then he said, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. You need to understand that the old self, the old nature, could not go in rehab and get better. Our old self was too bad, too corrupt to be washed and cleaned. It only had one way to go. And what was that? Die. How can you die to your old nature? You already died with your old. Your old nature's already dead. We try to give it CPR. thinking that, okay, I got to get this done. I got to figure this out. I got to do this. No, we just have to follow him. We have to know that we are dead to sin and that we are alive unto God. United with him, certainly we shall all be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, our old self was crucified with him. That our old body of sin, what is that? That's our old nature. That our old body of sin, our old nature, might be done away with. What did he do with your old nature? He did away with it. He did away with your old nature. You can look for it. And we can try to say, no, I still got problems with this. Well, you may have problems, but that's flesh. That's not nature. That's flesh. That's not nature. If you're born again, your old nature is dead. That's how God sees it. And if we see it any other way, we're out of alignment with God. If we try to say, no, wait a minute, I still got these tendencies, I still got flesh. Your old nature's dead. Praise God. That's exactly right. Praise God, my old nature is dead. What does that mean? I don't have to sin. I can, but I don't have to. Why? Because we're dead to sin, alive to God. If we don't get this in our thinking, we will struggle most of our life in living the newness of life. Because we're trying to achieve something that He's already given. Done away with, that we should be no longer slaves to sin. When you're born again, you're no longer, that, dude, isn't that a song? I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. I'm no longer, we sing it and then go out like we're slaves to it. Short-term thinking for a long-term provision. The old man was crucified. We were crucified with him. That our body of sin was done away with, so we would be no longer slaves to sin. For he who has died is free from sin. When your own nature died, you're free from sin. In other words, you don't have to sin. You volunteer to sin if you want to, but you don't have to. Why? Because your old nature of that's who you are is over. I love the way God's provided for us. I really do. If you died, you're freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 9, knowing that, there's the third knowing. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead to never die again, death no longer master over him. Death is no longer master over you. Sin is no longer master over you. For the death that he died to sin once for all. Once for all. But the life that he lives to God. The life that he now lives, Jesus, the life that he lives for God. Therefore, do not let sin reign. Now, here's the issue. Okay, I'm dead to sin and alive to God. And then he says, do not let sin reign over you. What's he saying? You can choose to sin, or you can choose not to sin. That's the power of Christ in our life. He said, don't let sin be your boss. Don't let sin lord over you. Don't let sin dominate you. What should dominate us? Righteousness. Matter of fact, when he looks at you, he don't see it. When he looks at you and I, he does not see sin. You know why? It's dead. When he sees you, he sees Christ. When he looks at you, he sees the blood of Christ covering you, watching over you, cleaning you. That's what he looks at. By the way, I'll just say this. When you're born again, he is not dealing with your sin. When you're born again, he's not dealing with your sin. He's already dealt with it. He dealt with it. The cross and him volunteering to lay down his life and become sin, become you, and become me on the cross. That is absolutely astonishing to me. He's not dealing with your sin. If we think that, we're not thinking right with him. I got a passage for that. We'll get to it in just a minute. Then he goes on and says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. That's your flesh, in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. See, your mortal body still has lust. That's flesh. That's the reason Paul said, I die daily. Every day he has to die to that flesh. Every day. Why? Because it's there. He's not talking about his old nature. That's settled with Paul. Paul's the one that's writing the letter. It's settled with Paul. He said that you might obey its lust. He said, and do not go on presenting your members, your hands, your fingers, your ears, your mouth, your everything. See, that's the reason when you see the dancers dance, they're yielding their members of their body as instruments of righteousness before God. And people want to complain and fuss about dancing in church. And the Bible says, yield your members as instruments of righteousness to God. I applaud them to worship that way in front of people, knowing about half the people, or maybe some of the people, are against it. But they do it anyway. Why? They're not doing it for you. They're not doing it for me. They're not doing it for us. They're doing it for God. Yielding their instruments, their hands, their feet, their bodies as an instrument of righteousness to God. And that's how we should live. Well, am I saying we need to dance in the grocery store? If you want to, cut it, let it rip. If you want, go down the Lay's potato chip aisle and just do this number. If I see you doing it, I'm coming to join you. Well, you don't be ashamed of God. Amen. If there's a dance in you to give to him, give it. Amen. If there's a hallelujah and Dan sings that song, raise a hallelujah. If a hallelujah raises up in you, give that hallelujah. Give that praise to the Lord. Well, no, they won't understand. That is true. That is true. But you're not doing it for them. If you're doing it to be seen, it's not for him. Then it, sure enough, is foolish. But if you're doing it for him, let it rip. Anyway. Yield them as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law anymore. You are under grace. You want to be under grace? See, that grace is his. See, well, it's unmerited favor. Oh, it is way beyond unmerited favor. See, grace is the divine empowerment to empower you to do what he's asked you to do. He's already given you the grace. When he says for you to do something and you say, I can't, what is he saying? Yes, you can. I've already given you the power to do that. Okay. Then he goes on, he says, what then? Shall we sin because we are no longer under the law but under grace? No, may it never be. No, that's wrong thinking. 16, do you not know? There it is again. Do you not know? See, there's a lot of things in here that we have forgotten. And we don't know anymore. And we have short-term thinking for a long-term provision. Provision. He said, but when you yield yourselves to anyone as slaves to obedience, you are slaves to the one that whom you obey. You're slaves to that one to whom you obey. Either to sin resulting in righteousness or of obedience resulting in sin resulting in death, and obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God. Everybody say, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart. You chose him. You said yes to him. And to that form of teaching to which you were committed. Here's the thing about it. Are you going to be committed to the teaching that you're receiving? Now, it needs to be from the Word of God, right? And then are you committed to the teaching that you're receiving? And having been freed from sin, you have become slaves to righteousness. Boy, that's good stuff. It really is. It's good stuff. So we're learning how to identify our spiritual walk with Jesus and Jesus alone. So every time we start thinking other ways, we're not guarding our heart. Because we've allowed either a lie or a twisted truth to come in and we start walking crooked. Because what we're learning is twisted truth or a lie. Stand on his truth. Let it reign in your life. Let it be the dominance in your life. See, this newness of life, this new thing is the character. It's heavenly, it's Christ-like, and it's glorious. This new way of living, a whole new world with him, his kingdom. See, when we said that he's not dealing with your sin, he's not. He's dealing with your sin if you're not a believer. Let's just go to that. John 16. Here's the passage for that. John 16, 7 through 10. John 16, 7 through 10. John said, they have covered the clock up. I reckon why they did that. Yeah, I said, yeah, he's waving up there. I said, I told you I was going to cover that clock up. I want to hear the rest of that message. I understand that, but we do have nursery workers and kids' church workers. John 16,
Take your time, Pastor.
Yeah, I'm fine. John 16, y'all there? Verse 7. But I tell you the truth. This is red words. Who's talking?
Jesus.
But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Now here he is telling his disciples, it's for your good that I'm going away. I'm telling you the truth. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you. I'll send him to you. And he, when he comes, listen to this, and he, when he comes, will convict or convince the world concerning sin. He's convincing or convicting the world concerning sin. Well, let's go on. And concerning righteousness, because I go away, and you, believers, will no longer behold me. So what is he saying? He convicts, the Holy Spirit convicts lost people of sin. He convicts saved people of righteousness. Yes. So what am I saying? He's not convicting, listen to me, this is the Word of God. He's not convicting the believer of sin. He's dealt with the sin. It's a done deal for him. But what is he doing? If we're not doing things right, the Holy Spirit is pointing the finger saying, That's not the righteousness. Here's the righteousness. I want you to do this. He will guide us to the truth. Amen. He's not pointing a finger at you and said, "You sinner." He ain't doing that. Amen. Boy, I like that. Amen. Why? Because I'm no longer a sinner. But if we believe we are, that's how we're going to act. Well, what are we? Saints. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're a saint. You're a saint." Now, we're not a Saint Paul. The Pauls are a Saint Paul. Oh, here's a Saint John. Here's another Saint John right here. He's a saint. He is not the Saint John, but he's a Saint John.
Yes, he is.
Richard calls him Pope. It's just messing with me. But listen. We need to get this inside us and not have this stinking thinking that we always get bogged down with. That we've got to work it. We have to work to get it. No. You don't have to work. That's the work of the Pharisees. They studied the scriptures, were supposed to guard the scriptures, and they did, but then they added to the scriptures, and when Jesus walks up, they don't even know who he is. And then he starts doing things, and they don't like it because he's drawing people. He's drawing more people than they are. If you're in this thing to draw people to you, it's not working.
Amen.
We need to be in this to draw people to Christ.
Yes.
What did Paul say? Say, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I now live," what? "I live by faith in the Lord." Why? What is the faith? My thinking is I'm no longer slave to sin. We'll sing that song. I'm not fussing at you. I'm really not. I'm just saying we've got to line up with what we're singing.
Amen.
We sing, "I am no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God."
Amen.
It is beyond my capability to fully understand that. But that's where my faith comes in. He said it, and I believe it. And somebody said that settles it. But that's really not true. He said it, and that settles it, whether you believe it or not. Just because you believe it, don't settle it. It settles it with you, but he said it, that settles it. We get a choice to believe it or not. I choose to believe it. How about you? No longer slaves to sin. I am a child of God. I'm dead to sin, but I am alive to God. The next time the enemy brings a temptation, just look at him, just start singing that song. "I'm no longer a slave to sin." And look at the temptation again and say, "I am a child of God." So here we are. We've got to have a long-term thinking for the long-term provision. See, it didn't just happen, I'm born again, now I'm left here alone, and now I've got to struggle through this life. No. That's wrong thinking. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. No matter what we go through, he'll never leave us." He's empowered us to do whatever he wants us to do.
Amen.
Have you ever felt like God wanted you to do something and you had to work up the you had to work it up to get it to going? Sometimes in the flesh you just got to work this thing up so you can feel better about it. It don't matter about how you feel. You don't walk by feelings. When we start walking by feelings, the enemy will give us plenty of feelings. And the next thing you know, you're walking like this, walking crooked. It's like, you know. I hope y'all getting something out of it. It really is good. He said the Holy Spirit will convince. See, when the Holy Spirit comes to you in parts of your life that doesn't look like Jesus, it looks like something else, but it don't look like Jesus, he's not condemning you. He's not judging you. He's excited because he's pointing something out to you that's about to change. He's pointing something that's about to change. Why? Because God is committed to bringing you to the full stature of who Jesus is. That's what it says in Ephesians. To bring us to full stature of who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit's excited about it. He's not condemning us. He's just showing us and convicting us of righteousness. That's not how you should have answered. Here's how you should have answered. This is the way you needed to do that. This is the way you need to think. See, he's messing with your theology today, probably. Amen. He's messing with what you've been thinking all these years. No, I gotta prove myself. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. Now, we do have to work out the salvation and follow him and become like Christ. That's part of our obedience and learning the new. See, we have a newness of life, but we're still learning how to walk in it. See, it was just, see, once again, I honestly believe he didn't want to have to fool with the old man, so he just killed it. He didn't want to fool with it. He want, you know, cause what we try to do, we try to give it rehab. We try to pastor the old man out. Ain't working. I've seen myself before in my walk with God trying to give my old man CPR because I felt like I could do it better. You know why? Because God wasn't fast enough for me. Impatience. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't let your thinking start going back to when you were slaves to sin. See, that's the reason I said earlier that I think a lot of people are born again, but they're trying to live the best life they possibly can in Egypt. It's a struggle. Colossians says this, Colossians 2, verse 12 says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you are raised up with him through faith in the working of God. What we just talked about is the working of God. Raised to have faith in what God is doing in your life. You know, when you look at that thing about I'll never leave you nor forsake you and all that, you know, I got a new version. I mean, I got a new way of looking at that. When I get born again, God won't leave me alone. You know what I'm saying? He ain't going to leave me alone. I got this that needs to change. He ain't going to leave me alone. Why? He said, I'll never leave you alone. So God's not going to leave you alone staying where you are. No, God's going to change you little by little, step by step, faith by faith, glory by glory. You hear what I'm saying? Glory by glory. People say, well, you know, the Lord accepts me where I'm at. That's true, but he will not leave you there. Why? Because he's wanting you to become like his son. So if you stay stuck at the salvation point, put your ticket to heaven in your back pocket and live the rest of your life the way you've been living, I'm not saying you're not born again. I am saying this, that you're not being effective for the kingdom of God. You're not doing what he wants you to do because he wants you off the bottle and he wants you eating meat. Today is meat day. Today is the day that you get to eat meat. Something that's going to go inside of you and inside of your thinking that you won't forget and that you'll understand that you're no longer a slave to sin, that you have died to sin. So when sin pops its head up and wants you to do this, wants you to do that, just understand, I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. But I am alive unto God. So God, what do you want me to do? This is what the enemy wants me to do. This is what the world wants me to do. This is what politicians want me to do. I don't care what politicians say. What does God say? You hear what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter if you've got a D or a P or W-O-R-D. That's Dan Spartanburg. If you got whatever that is, what matters is, are you with the Lamb of God?
Amen.
Okay. All right. Are y'all okay?
Yes.
Yeah. We good. Me too. Me too. He goes on and he said, having faith in the working of God. Turn to your neighbor. God's working on you. And you may as well say, I know it. I know it. God's working on you. I know it. God's working on you. See, through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when we are dead in our transgressions and the uncircumcision of our flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us a few, about 10. Well, my younger sins, having forgiven us all. What does all mean? All means your past, your present, and your future. Is that what all means? Absolutely. You know, I don't like this idea. You know, he said, son, you are seated with me in the heavenlies. I'm here on earth, but I am seated with him in the heavenlies. That's what the Bible says. I got a problem with this stuff. All of a sudden, people think, oh, I did this, I did that. And they got this, they don't say it, but they got this vision of God. Overlook this thing that you did. I didn't cover that one. Oops. You're going to have to give up your seat. Not so. I got a problem with that. Don't you? If I'm seated with him in the heavens, I'm seated with him in the heavens.
Amen.
See, that's my spirit seated with them in the heavens, yet I'm right here. See, I've got a split personality. Sure enough, I'm in two places at the same time. You are too. And you thought you could never do that. Well, I better stick to the notes. I might wander off somewhere. He said, watch it, forgiving all your, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against you. There were things about you that was against you, and that was in the old man. He said, against you, which were hostile to all of us. I mean hostile to us. And he's crucified you, and he has nailed that certificate of debt on his cross, nobody else's, on his cross, and this last part, they said, and he has taken it out of the way. Taking it out of the way. You know, somebody looked around and said, hey, you look like you're looking for something. What are you looking for? I'm looking for that thing he took out of the way because I'm going to go back to it. He took it out of the way. Oh, ain't he good? Best I took it out of the way. God, when he sees you, when he sees you, he doesn't see sin. He sees Jesus. That's what he sees when he sees you. And he's not looking for things to judge you. He's already judged. He has already judged sin. Which one did he pay for?
All of them.
Romans 7:6 says this, now we have been released from the law, having died to that which we were bound. We were bound to the law because we was bound to sin. so that now we can serve in newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Serve in newness of the Spirit, not in oldness of the letter. So that word old there means wore out, done for, useless, and ineffective. Anytime we try to go back to this old way of thinking, it's a wore out way of thinking. It's no good. It's ineffective and it's useless. That's how God sees it. He's settled the sin issue. We need to settle it too. And when he settled that, he's given you a new life. We need to settle that too. We need to live in the newness of his life. That newness is the character of who he is. He took the sign off. I see it. Okay, it's 2 minutes after 12. All right. Let me tell you this, okay? Jesus talks in Luke 5, and he says this: no one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. Likewise, they will both tear the new, and the piece of the new will not match the old. Okay, I get that. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins and will spill out on the floor, and the skins will be ruined. But the new wine must be put into flesh, the new flesh wineskins. How do you get a brand new fresh? How do you get a fresh wineskin? What's the first thing that's got to happen to get you a fresh wineskin? Something got to die. Because they made the wineskins out of animal skins. Something got to die for you to have a new wineskin. We died to become new wineskins so he could pour out his new way of living inside us. Now, what does this say? It says you cannot cut a piece of Jesus and sew it into the old nature. It won't work. You can't take a piece of just a little bit of Jesus. No, it's all or nothing. It's all of him. You can't. I'll use a little bit of Jesus. No, it ain't going to work. It won't last. Why? It's only temporary. It's a temporary newness that will fade out quickly, because when the pressure's on, it'll rip. When the pressure's on, we won't make it. Amen? All right. I didn't give you that. Okay. Let me read this one and we'll go. Read this one. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, this is out of the Message Bible, which is a paraphrase. It's not even a translation, it's a paraphrase, but I like what it says here. Keep your eyes focused and clear on him, so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Then it says this: grab hold of the immensity of his glorious way, the glorious life that he has for the Christians. Grab hold of it. And the immensity, the bigness of this whole thing that he's just done for us. He says, oh, the utter extravagance of his work inside us. Oh, the utter extravagant work that he's done inside me. Who trust in him, we have endless energy. We have boundless strength. Okay. Are you dead to sin? I'm going to have to re-preach this message. Y'all got another 2 hours. Y'all got another hour and a half. You better say yeah. Are you dead to sin? Yeah.
Yes.
Are you alive unto God?
Yes.
Y'all must be hungry. No. Look, We can't just say, that was a nice message. No, you need to say, that was for me, and it's getting inside me, and I'm going to live what he said. Okay, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Is anybody in here not his child? You don't belong to God, God don't belong to you. Anybody in here, you never said yes to Jesus, and you want to today. Today's your day. Anybody? So let me ask you this question. Is everybody a born-again believer? Raise your hand. Wave at me. Look around, guys. Look around. We've got people that are born-again believers. See, this is the word for us. God's not convicting you of sin. God is convicting you of righteousness. The righteousness that he's already put in you. You don't have to earn it. He's already given it to you. Amen. So when you have lunch today and you see the waitresses and waiters and all that kind of stuff, be kind, be nice, be grateful. Show Jesus, and tip them good too, yeah. And show Jesus to them even when things aren't going well. Because you're no longer a slave to your bad attitude. The flesh wants you to have a bad attitude, but you said, I'm dying to that. I'm alive unto God. So I can do the right thing all the time. I know we'll miss along the way. Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you, God, for unraveling all this for us. And thank you, God, that we can understand and we can think and we can know and we can guard our hearts with this message today and understanding who you are and who we are in you and who you are in us. So we thank you for that today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.